and greetings in the state is blessed and worthy name. Last Sunday afternoon, I was called upon to perform a very difficult task, and yet a task that I felt was a privilege indeed. I was asked to preach the funeral of my dear brother in Christ, T.B. Gilbert. He was a very dear friend and a very godly man, one that I esteemed and looked up to in the Lord. God mightily used Brother Gilbert for well over half a century. Some time back, he gave me some tapes of messages that he preached. And this morning, we're going to sidestep our usual study of Galatians, and by way of tape recording, hear a message preached by our Brother Gilbert. Brother Gilbert, who this morning is with the Lord, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus. And by tape recording, Brother T.B. Gilbert.
Greet you, beloved friends, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring you a Bible talk on the text found in John chapter 3 and verse 12. They are Christ's words to Nicodemus, that great religious leader, and I quote, "If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" The great difference between Judaism and Christianity is plainly seen in these words of Christ. All of God's promises to Israel in the Old Testament had to do with earthly things and earthly blessings, while in Christianity we are promised heavenly blessings. In the Old Testament, Israel was promised a land flowing with milk and honey. That was the land of Canaan. Their blessings were linked with that land, and especially with the old city of Jerusalem. That was the only place on earth where God ever put his name and where he actually dwelt. God never dwelt in the cities of Babylon, Rome, London, New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles. None of these great cities ever had a temple where God actually dwelt, but God did actually dwell in the tabernacle and in the temple at Jerusalem. When he delivered that nation from Egypt, his presence actually came down from heaven in the form of a cloud. That cloud first came between Israel and the armies of the Egyptians, their enemies, when the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea. Then God kept 2.5 million people in a desert for 40 years. He rained bread from heaven and gave them water out of a rock to drink. And their shoes never got old and their clothes never waxed old. And that cloud was over them as a pillar of cloud protecting them from the sun by the day, and a pillar of fire protecting them from the enemies and wild animals by night. When that cloud lifted, they journeyed, and when it abode over the tabernacle, they stopped. God guided them to the promised land and cared for them all along the way. When Solomon built the temple at Jerusalem, that cloud filled the temple. That nation had God with them. Today, God does not dwell in any building on earth. He does not dwell in temples made with hands, we read in Acts 7. His people are his temple. He dwells in every Christian and in every gathering of true Christians. But what I want you to note is this, that all of Israel's blessings were earthly. The Christian's blessing in the New Testament are in Christ, who is in heaven, and who will soon come to take them home to be with him. The New Testament tells us Christ came out of heaven to become a man, and has gone back to heaven as man, where he awaits those who are being born from above. Now, for one to be blessed in Old Testament times, he had to be born of the nation which descended from Abraham and then from Jacob, to whom God gave these earthly promises. Or if a stranger, he had to be identified with that land and that people in order to know the true God. There was no blessing outside of that nation. They had the only religion that God ever gave to man. It was an earthly religion. Christians worship in heaven, and in spirit, and in truth. them because they are heavenly people. We should not wonder then that Nicodemus said to Christ, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" All the hopes of the Jew lay in his natural birth. They doubtless thought they had all the blessings God had for man. But Christ's coming shows us there is something more blessed, and that is to be born again, or born from above and go to heaven. Only Christians have that hope. Israel's blessings came through man on earth, men to whom God made promises. The Christian's blessings come from God's Son, who became a man to die for us and to rise again, that we might share his life and his home. These blessings only come through believing on Christ. If Nicodemus wanted them, he must believe on Christ also. Christ is the only Savior of the world, and no one can be saved without him. The Jew who had the favor of God in the Old Testament, the Christian has it now in the New Testament. Christ told Nicodemus in no uncertain terms, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And said further, you must be born again. So must you, my friend. To be a Christian, one must have Christ's life. That's what the new birth is. It is being born from above. It is something entirely new. Christ, who is the life, came down from heaven to give life unto the world. His life, as we have said, is an heavenly life. He left heaven to become man. His birth was miraculous. It can only be understood by faith. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. When she conceived, Christ entered into a body God had prepared for him in her womb. He said to God, as a man, a body hast thou prepared me, Hebrews 10:5. The first man, Adam, was of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven, 1 Corinthians 15:47. Some people may not believe that, but that does not change the scriptures. They cannot be broken. When Christ died, his death was called the Lord's death. The Lord can't die, yet he did die. His body lay in the grave 3 days in death, while his spirit was with the Father. His body did not see corruption, so he rose from the dead and now lives a man in heaven. Paul could say, Christ lives in me. So can every true Christian. A person who does not have Christ in his heart is not a Christian. For he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:12. When a person receives Christ into his heart, he possesses eternal life, because Christ is the true God and eternal life. 1 John 5:20. I was reading a literal translation of the Bible the other day, and our text, which we are quoting or speaking from, read this way. If I have told you of earthly things and ye believe not, how, if I say the heavenly things to you, will you believe? Christian blessings all depend upon believing God. Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. This righteousness by faith was not for Abraham only, but for us also. Faith is taking God at his word. God told Abraham to get out from his country and his kindred and his father's house, and he would show him a land flowing with milk and honey, and he believed God and went out, not knowing whither he went. He launched out with faith in God's word, which said, I will show thee. Today we must believe in Christ for the saving of our souls. It is not enough to say, oh, I believe in God. You will find, my friend, there is a big difference between believing there is a God and believing what God says with a belief of faith. James says, thou sayest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. They tremble because of the day of judgment. Christ cast out devils from a man who lived in the tombs. They cried out to him, art thou come to torment us before the time? The devils may try to get people not to believe in judgment, but they themselves know there is judgment ahead, and they trembled at the thought of it. Yes, the devils believe and tremble. I wish some of my listeners would tremble at the thought of judgment and would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order that they should not perish but have everlasting life. No, it is not enough to say, I believe there is a God, or I believe in God, or we have on our coins in this country, in God we trust. The thing is, do we believe God's word? Do we trust him? If we trust a person, we believe his word. Remember, my friend, God's word is true. He is the God who cannot lie. Whatever he says is true. It is trustworthy. And God will never go back on his word. Do you believe God when he says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God? Do you believe God's word when he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? Just recently, I met a man who was deeply concerned about his soul. When I asked him finally if he was saved, he said, I think I am. I think I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, my friend, God wants more faith than just saying you think you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. His word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Will you say right now, I do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins and rose again, and I do believe God when he says, thou shalt be saved. He put out his hand and said, yes, I do. Then I said, do you know you're saved? He said, yes. I believe God, and he says, I'm saved. My friends, we only have true faith in God when we take him at his word. And that word gives us assurance. Because God does not lie. He cannot lie. Why don't you believe God today that you are a sinner, that you can't save yourself, but in love to you, he sent his son 1900 years ago to die on the cross for your sins and to be buried and to rise again? Why not give Christ all the credit that is due to him as Savior and know that you're saved on the highest possible authority? And that's God's word. It is the word of the God who cannot lie. That's how sure we can be saved. We can know we're saved and we can know that we're going to be in heaven when we have God telling us and we believe him. Shall we pray? Our Father, grant that each one listening may have that faith to believe thee and to trust thy Son. Many are going through trials and sorrows and bereavements, and they need thee. Cause them to turn to thee, to believe thy word, and to get to know thee as the God who doth understand. We pray thy blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, friends, for listening. God bless you.
For those of you who may have tuned in late today, our message was by our late brother, T.B. Gilbert. Brother Gilbert went into the presence of the Lord last week. But we were privileged today to hear a message that he taped some time back. And he being dead, yet speaketh. Next week, Lord willing, we'll continue in the book of Galatians. In the meantime, if we can be of any spiritual help to you, don't hesitate to call us. May the Lord bless you.